Moncrief on News Talk.
This year marks the 70th anniversary of the banning of J.P. Dunleavy's The Ginger Man, which went on to become one of the best-selling books to come out of this country. 45 million copies. In fact, it might be the best-selling book to have been written in Ireland. Tomás Kenny of Kenny's Bookshop in Galway may or may not have quietly sold a few copies back in the day. Afternoon, Tomás.
Hi, Sean. How's it going?
Not too bad. Give us a brief summation of what The Ginger Man was about and why 70 years ago was so scandalous.
Well, The Ginger Man was written by J.P. Dunleavy, who was born in America to Irish parents. He came over after World War II and went to college in Trinity along with several other Americans who kind of on this GI Bill got to come over and live lives of sort of luxury because they got a stipend from the US government. So he wrote a book ultimately called The Ginger Man about an American student in Trinity who goes around Dublin having a lot of fun drinking and meeting women and not being very good to his wife. And it, as such, I suppose it's not difficult to see how it would draw the ire of the censorship authorities in Ireland at the time. Mm. But yeah, it caused great consternation. But it wasn't just in Ireland. It was banned in the States, in Australia, in France, I think very briefly as well. So it was a big deal.
Yeah. Now, I had this story in the back of my mind and then I checked it out and it seems as if like Dunleavy was kind of part of the literary set in Dublin anyway, before even The Ginger Man was published, and he would have known Behan, and apparently Behan edited the book.
Yeah, Behan was his first reader, and he was, he said, I think famously enough, that like this book of yours is going to go around the world and beat the bejesus out of the Bible. The first ever draft he typed up, Behan edited and wrote loads of notes in it. And I think it's in the National Library now, that because his archive ended up there. And yeah.
Behan broke into his house to just steal his drink, but happened to do that because while he was there. But either way. But funny enough, you said it was banned in France, but it was initially published in France. Is that the case?
Yeah, the Olympia Press, which was this famous, one of these famous kind of small presses in the mid 20th century, because obviously, as I said, it was banned in a lot of places and that was fairly common censorship of books. So small presses that were willing to maybe risk the ire of states sprung up and published these sorts of things. And yeah, Dunleavy, the Olympia Press had two arms to it. One was this very serious literary kind of arm of the press, and they published Beckett, and they published the first ever edition of Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov, Henry Miller, William Burroughs, and so on. And I think he thought he was going to be part of that, but they also had another arm, which was a quasi-pornographic arm, effectively, and he ended up getting published by that. Now, publicly, he used to always give out about it, and he certainly had an almost 20-year-long legal case with the Olympia for breach of contract for publishing with that arm. But I think privately, he was delighted because the notoriety kind of ensured it its success.
And was it famous during his lifetime? Now, I mean, apart from the notoriety,
massive. Yes, so it was his first book. It's easy to forget. Like, so the book was published in 1955. It was banned in Ireland in 1956. But by the late 1950s, there was a BBC television show based on it. There was a West End theatre show based on it, which Richard Harris was the lead actor in. And in fact, that theatre show transferred over to Dublin to the Gaiety, I think. And John Charles McQuaid insisted it be changed or it wouldn't be allowed. And Dunleavy refused to have it changed and went very publicly against the bishop, which again is, you know, a very unusual thing to hear about in the 50s in Ireland. But yeah, so it gained notoriety in the UK first, and the ban was lifted in lots of other countries and it started to sell in enormous numbers. I mean, it was reviewed ecstatically widely, you know, and a lot of very, very big authors spoke at length about how wonderful it was and how funny and how different and so on. So he had both the literary quality of the work, but also the fact that it was on the front pages for being banned everywhere, you know, meant it started selling, yeah, very, very significant numbers very quickly.
45 million copies. It could be, would it be theoretically the best-selling ever Irish novel?
Yeah, well, Ulysses, I suppose, has to be probably it, because one of the Irish bookseller's favourite invention, not invention as such, but is Bloomsday. Ulysses, you would not believe the amount of copies that sell every June for Bloomsday of Ulysses. I would imagine, I mean, Ulysses is on every single course in English and so on all over the world, and again had the same sort of literary quality and notoriety and a 30-year head start on this. But yeah, I mean, like that 45 million figure, which was widely quoted, I think, when Dunleavy died, which is about 7 or 8 years ago now, it's already kind of past 50 million, I believe. But yeah, he sold very well in translation, which again is, something we forget about in the sense of, you know, the French buy books in numbers that we don't, any other country in the world don't, you know?
Yeah.
So a best-selling book there can kind of make or break things. And I think he sold kind of widely everywhere. And a huge success.
And the banning in Ireland, is it a kind of a ban? Was there always a way to get your hands on it? Would you, like in Kenny's, your parents and grandparents were like, how did they handle something like that if someone came in asking for it?
Well, I do know, now far be it from me to say that my grandmother or grandfather did anything they shouldn't have, but I do know that what used to happen in certain bookshops was you might get a letter. I know, for example, John McGarrahan, The Dark, which was banned in the early 60s, The Barrack, sorry, first, was Faber and Faber, who were the publisher, sent a letter to bookshops who'd ordered copies, saying it was their understanding that the censorship board was going to rule on it next week. And in effect, what that meant was it was going to be banned, because, you know, anything that was brought up before the censorship board was ultimately banned for anything. And so in quite a lot of cases, bookshops would have had a little bit of a head start on the authorities coming to the shop to pick up the books. And so, you know, you might have bought 30 copies and you might have 29 left, but I think when they came to the door, you'd say, oh, I've only one left, you know, here it is, and the other might go underneath. And yeah, I mean, I there was a documentary on our shop a couple of decades ago, and one of the first employees said that they used to hide Lady Chatterley's Lover under different dust jackets, so you'd have a different cover on the book and you'd at least somewhere underneath. So I think there was ways and means. There was a black market, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, now, and it's also worth remembering that, I know, by far his most famous book was The Ginger Man, but Dunleavy's outbook was fairly prodigious.
It was. I can't recall the number of novels or books, about 25, 26, something like that, that he wrote. I mean, it was his first book and by far his most successful, but he certainly had, repercussions beyond just The Ginger Man. I mean, he wrote a book, Fairy Tale of New York, which ultimately Shane McGowan came across and wrote a song, not quite based on the story or anything like that, but he took the title of the book and ran with it, and we all know what happened there. But yeah, he wrote widely, and I'm not sure he ever quite recaptured the magic of The Ginger Man, which genuinely is a super, super book. But there were several really good books in there. The Beastly Beatitudes of Balthazar B. is a super book, for example, and so I think they're the only two I've read. But he certainly was widely published, and retained popularity. I mean, his other books, even though they didn't quite capture the popularity of The Ginger Man, I mean, it's very difficult if you've got one of the best-selling books of all time, not just in Ireland, but in the world, to follow that up with another 25 similar ones. So
absolutely. Tomás, we do have to leave it there. Thanks a million for speaking to us today. Nice to talk to you again. That was Tomás Kenny there of Kenny's Bookshop in Galway.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.